Morning. Today's Daf Mamasiyah Sadi. Hey, thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf as long as Echonis Masliba Gavriela Bashmul. We're going to do the last sugya of the 7th parak. I'm going to start the 8th parak of the Masechta this morning. We are in Sadi Dala Amad Aleph. And yesterday we did a Mishnah. Sorry. The Mishnah. Let's just quickly run through the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, "Master Shemachinim Lios Potem Mishvua, VaAshol Lios Potem LeShalim." So you can make negotiations, and as a Shemachinim, you could say, "Look, I'm not going to make a Shvua." As a borrower, you're saying, "I'm not going to pay." I know it's Tzachar VaAsok Lios Potem Mishvua LeShalim, and a renter and a hired custodian could simply say that we're not going to pay. And we're only going to watch the item under those terms. So the Mishnah says you could do so. And then the Mishnah is a little bit confusing because in the next part of the Mishnah says, you know, you can't negotiate something that the Torah says is the halacha. Meaning, call a masa masha goes up a Torah tonight bato. Then the Mishnah goes on to say that if you make a tanai against that which the Torah says, the tanai is not going to be good. Now, then the Mishnah seems to be going through the regular rules and regulations of how to make a tanai. If the first samaisa comes and then the tanai, that's not going to be good. If you make the tanai first, so then the tanai is going to be good. Okay, so the Mishnah seems to be conflicted in terms of whether or not you can renegotiate the terms of what a Shomer Chinam is normally liable for, Shomer Sachar, Socher, and Shoal. So, Amai Masta Amasha Kaz Betarahu. So the Gemara starts off right away with asking a simple question. How can you negotiate? You can't negotiate the terms. It's what you're negotiating against that which the Torah states. V'chal Masta Amasha Kaz Betarah Tanah Batal. And we know that when you make a Tanah that goes against the Torah, that the Tanah is not going to be good. So the Gemara says, Amani Rav Yehudi, Damar B'davish B'mamon, So the Gemara says, well, as we'll see in just a moment, and we've seen this already a number of times throughout Shas, whether or not you certainly cannot negotiate against that which the Torah stipulates when it comes to non-monetary items. But when it comes to monetary items, so the Gemara says maybe the Tanayim debate as to whether or not you negotiate on Mamon. Did Tanya in the Gemara here quotes the following brayso? Amar Elishare, Lishare, Mekudesh, Siam, Nashian, Lech, Alai, Sherek, Susvaona. Harez, Mekudesh, Satana, Bato, Divra, Meir. So, let's say, go to a woman and say, look, marriage is such a great idea. I love marriage. I just don't like all the financial responsibility. I'm just not interested in that. So you say to the woman, I'll marry you, but on the condition of no Sherek, Susvaona. So, and of those three Torah obligations that a husband has to his wife, so two of those three are monetary obligations. Sherek, Susvaona. Are monetary obligations. So Reb Meir says, no, doesn't work. The Tanai is going to be bought, though. The Tanai is not going to be good. Of course, you're married, meaning you agreed to the marriage. You just thought you could, you know, negotiate some of the terms of the marriage. You can negotiate, according to Reb Meir, against that which the Torah states. Rav Yehuda Amar B'davar Shemamamun Tanai Kayim. And Rav Yehuda says, no, of the three obligations a husband has to his wife, the two monetary obligations, if she's in agreement that you don't have to provide for her sharing sus, so then you don't have to provide. So, and it can be negotiated. So it could very well be, now that we know the Machlokshim Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, it could very well be that the author of our Mishnah is Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, okay, but that's difficult, and I'll tell you why. The Mishnah then just goes on to say that you cannot negotiate against that which the Torah states. So how could you tell me that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara says, well, no. It could very well be that the way to read the Mishnah is that when the Mishnah first talks about negotiation, that's talking about monetary negotiation, and even though the Torah gives us the standard rules of what a Shomer Chinam, Socher Shoah, Shomer Sachar is responsible for, but those are monetary obligations, and if you want to renegotiate that, you may do so. And then when the Mishnah goes on to say, and you can't go against the Torah, that's talking about non-monetary items. So Ema Sefer, the Gemara says, okay, but still, I can't read the Mishnah like Rav Yehuda for the following reason. They keep reading in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah then turns to the basic rules of making a Tanai. Yeah, Tanai has to be Kom Lamaisa, etc., etc. We did the Rashi yesterday. So the Gemara says, and now, who subscribes to all these rules, the laws of Tanai? Now, how to make a condition? That's all Rabbi Meir, because we know. Gemara quotes a brisa. Aba chalaf tish kfar chanan yam mishum Rabbi Meir Tanai kaim. I'm sorry, Tanai kornel maisa reza Tanai maisa kornel Tanai enu Tanai. The rules of Tanai. The condition has to come before the result. The result can't come before the condition. That's all shitas Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says. So it's really an inescapable conclusion, which is that our Mishnah falls like Rabbi Meir. Okay, so now we have a problem. So now that our Mishnah falls like Rav Meir, and we know that Rav Meir says that you cannot negotiate both on non-monetary law and even on monetary law, you can't negotiate. So now we're back to our original question. How did you read the first line of the Mishnah? The first line of the Mishnah says that you want to be a Shomer Chinam, but you want to be exempt from having to make a Shvuah. So as long as it's negotiated, it's fine. If our Mishnah is like Rav Meir, how did you understand the first lines of the Mishnah? So Elakula Rav Meir v'shani hacha. So the Gemara says the entire Mishnah is Rav Meir. That's just an unavoidable conclusion. And as far as how can you negotiate Shomer Shechinam, etc., etc., de mi'ikara lo shabad nafshei. Because originally you were not mishabed yourself. Now that's all the Gemara says, and that obviously needs some explanation. And there's a lot of different explanations of what the Gemara means over here, and I will stick just with Rashi for this morning. Rashi says, what does that mean? That normally you cannot negotiate. You can't renegotiate the terms of the Torah, both monetary and non-monetary. But when it comes to Shomer Chinam and all the other custodians, so all the Shomrim, so you can negotiate. Why? So again, the Gemara gives a very terse answer of Mikar lo shibei nafshei. What did that mean? So I turn to Rashi. And Rashi writes, Afilu tema Rashi dikta, I'm sorry, Reisha diktani master shomachina li pat meshvura meir. So the first line of the Mishnah is Rameir, Vahai lav masa mashakas betorahu. Now, if you want to renegotiate terms, it's not going against the Torah. Why not? Rashi continues. Ela sha'amar lo, e efshilio shomer shelcha ela bikach. Meaning, what you're basically saying is like this. Look, I know the Torah describes a Shomer Chinam. And again, this is before you're actually accepting the item. I don't want to be a Shomer Chinam. I'll take it, I'll watch it, but don't call me a Shomer Chinam. I'll just simply hold it in my possession, but we're not calling me a Shomer Chinam. V'haiki mashach kvar pirish amenashe ein lo alav shvua. V'lo shi benavshe le'rei b'toro shomrim ela lemiksas. And you can do that. Meaning, only when you accept upon yourself to be a quote-unquote Shomer Chinam, then you have to accept all the guidelines of the Torah. They're not guidelines. They're rules. But if before I take the item, I simply say, I don't want to be a Shomer Chinam, that's fine. You're certainly entitled to do that. If you take an item and pay for it and say, look, I know I'm taking the item, I know I'm paying for it, meaning we normally call that a rental, but I don't want to fall under the category of the Torah's description of a socher, again, that's fine. By the way, that was a terrible example because the Torah doesn't describe socher. So that wasn't a great example. If let's say I borrow an item, and again, the Torah normally describes what a shoal's responsibility is, and you say to him, okay, but I'm not going under the umbrella of shoal. Again, you could do that. So the Gemara of Rashi continues. So in other words, you can set the terms of what you are going to be before you do so. You're only confined to the Torah's guidelines when you say, I'm going to be a Shomer Chinam. I'm going to be a Shoal. But you see, when you marry a woman, so now you can't rewrite the terms of marriage. Meaning marriage has a very defined term. And you say, look, I'll marry you, but I don't want to have the financial responsibilities. Well, that you can't do that. Meaning marriage, by definition, has these responsibilities. You can't be half married. You're either married or you're not married. Those are your two options. It's binary. And since marriage has with it, by definition, the financial responsibility, so therefore you can't renegotiate that. So that's Rashi's explanation of our Gemara. There are other explanations, but for now we will leave it at that. Let's continue in the Gemara. We're back to the Gemara Tana. A Shomer Sachar can also negotiate that he will take on the responsibility of being a Shoel. Now, why would he want to do that? I don't know. But in other words, he wants to take on more responsibility upon himself. Again, if he wants to negotiate that, that's not negotiating on his behalf. It's negotiating against himself. But fine, that's fine. So, but the Gemara says like this. But here's the part I don't understand. Meaning, when you're accepting upon yourself more responsibility, normally that requires a kinyan. Where is the kinyan over here? So I'm a Shmuel Bishakana Miyado. So Shmuel says, you made a kinyan sitter. Rav Yochanan, I feel a Bishlo Kana Miyado. And Shmuel is going to make the argument, sorry. No. Rav Yochanan is going to make the argument that even without a formal kinyan, a kinyan sitter, still, if you want to accept upon yourself more responsibility, done. How is it done? By what mechanism is it caused by? So by the kanafik lekala the inshim mehemnuhu gamra umeshabed nafshe. Because when someone gives something an item to you to watch, so your reputation now goes up, your credit rating. I don't mean that here literally, but yeah, your credit rating goes up. People now understand that, hey, you're a trusted individual. So that gives you a hana, and with that hana that you just received, so therefore you can accept upon yourself even more responsibility, and that's the mechanism in which you are now locked into an even higher level of responsibility. We go back to our Mishnah. Amar Rav Tavla, Amar Rav Zudev, Rav Yehuda ben Tema. As far as making conditions, so our Mishnah taught us that as long as the condition is reachable, so then the condition is going to be a valid condition. So, and the Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say that even if you make a condition that is simply not reachable, it's not doable. The condition is in fact going to be a valid condition. Detanya. The Gemara quotes the following braisa. Listen, the get will be good, but on the condition that I fly up to the heaven. Now, it doesn't mean, it's not a euphemism, it doesn't mean I'll die. It means that I'm going to be able to flap my arms fast enough where I'm going to reach to the heaven. Now, obviously, that's a condition that's just not doable. So, I'm going to go down to the depths.
That's the wife, not the husband.
It's a wife making these conditions.
He's saying,
oh, until you reach Atali. Okay, very good. Okay, thank you. Excellent correction. Amanasha ter di litahom. Amanasha tivli kana shalmea ama. Right, you're going to swallow a reed that's 100 amas. Amanasha ta avri esa yamagadol biraglech. Niskayim atanai hareze. So, niskayim atanai hareze leget. Lo niskayim atanai eno get. So, when you're attaching a condition, impossible conditions, to the get, so now the get is going to be valid, but also locked into the condition. So only if the condition is met, and the condition is not going to be met, but only if the condition is going to be met, is the get going to be a good get. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Amar Kazeh get, Kazeh get. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says, no, it's a get. Meaning, impossible conditions are just stricken from the record. In other words, they're not achievable, they're not doable. And therefore, the condition falls away. And like we say time and again, this is just another good example. When the condition is knocked off, that doesn't mean the action is knocked off. It just means the condition is knocked off. So therefore, the get's going to be a good get. All you're doing is just giving exaggeration, hyperbole. But truth be told is that the get is a good get. And that's the halacha, following like the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Tema. Go back to our Mishnah, read the Mishnah again, critically, carefully. You will see that this is encoded in the Mishnah. If you can't meet the condition, it's just an impossible condition to know batal, then the Tanai would just simply fall away. Shmamina, the Gemara says, we can conclude that our Mishnah also subscribes to the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Tema. That's the end of the seventh parak. Just quickly recap the last sugya we did. Our Mishnah says that you can renegotiate the terms of all the shomrim, the dal shomrim. The Mishnah says you cannot be masna makas shakasa b'torah. How did we understand the consistency between the resha and the seifa? Conclusion of the Gemara. Our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Meir. Ein adam masna makas shakasa b'torah. Both by mamon and by isurim, you cannot renegotiate the terms of the Torah. And as far as the Mishnah's allowance for you to renegotiate shomrim, so the Gemara says, as a simple forward answer, mi'ikara lo shabbat nafshei, and I give Rashi's pshat this morning, which is that you just simply don't have to define yourself as one of the shomrim, as long as you do that from the point of origination. We start the eighth parak of Bava Metzia. Okay, there's a p'tur in the Torah. Is there? There's a p'tur in the Torah. The Torah has the following exemption when it comes to watching an item. There are dalet shomrim, there are four shomrim, as we already pointed out. We're going to say it again right now in just a moment. The three of them are mentioned in the Torah, and the fourth one is extrapolated. The three that are mentioned in the Torah is the Shomer Chinam, the Shomer Sachar, and the Shoah. All this is found in Parshas Mishpatim. Okay. So Perichav Beis, and it starts in Pasuk Vav. So Parsha number one, Ki Yiteni Shavriya Kesef Okelim Lishmor Vegunav Mibeis Eishim Yama Seganav Yishalam Shnayim. So the first Parsha doesn't identify itself as Shomer Chinam, but it's talking about Shomer Chinam. And the Gemara is going to hammer that point a little bit later on. The next parsha, starting with pasuk tes, ki teni shalreu chamor shor sevachol beim alishmor umeis onishba ein roeh shmor sashem tiyeh ben shneim. So let's say some sort of mishap happens, the animal dies, animal breaks something, the animal's taken into captivity. So that's what we would call ones. And the Torah exempts you. That's talking about Shomer Sachar. Again, the Torah doesn't say we're talking about Shomer Sachar, but again, we're going to hammer that point as well, later on as well. And then the third parsha in the Torah, V'chi Yishal Ish Me'im Re'ehu. This is the only parsha of the Shomerim in the Torah where the Torah actually identifies who we're talking about. It's talking about a Shoah. And if the animal, Nishbar, or mace, the animal either breaks something or dies, Ba'alav, Ein Imo, Shalem, Shalem. So if the owner's not with you, so then you have to pay because, as we've said time and again, the Shoah has to pay for Onis. Then, in Balav Imo, then this is the pasuk that the eighth parak revolves around. And that what if, let's say the owner's with you. We'll define what that means in a moment. That's our Mishnah. If the owner is with you, lo yishalem. So then the borrower does not have to pay. So we now know that there is an exemption in the Torah, that Balav Imo, that if the owner's with you, so then you, the shoal, don't have to pay. And then the Torah says that if it's a renter, so then he can get a return on the rental, which right now we don't know what that means. We're going to discover what that means later on. Okay, so three parshiyos in the Torah. Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Shoal. And then at the tail end of the Shomrim mentioned in the Torah, so we know that there's a p'tur of Balav Imo. Okay. We start with our Mishnah. Bottom of Tzadidalan Amid Aleph. Hashol Sapar Vishal Bala Imam. Let's say you borrow somebody's cow and you borrow the owner as well. Borrow the owner? Meaning, yeah. You ask the owner, do me a favor. I'm borrowing your cow and you know what? I need a little bit of help in my field with it. Would you be amenable to helping out as well? And the owner says, sure, no problem at all. Oh, Sachar Bala Imam. Or let's say I borrow somebody's cow and I say, look, I know your time is valuable. I'll pay you for your time. Would you work with me? And I'll hire you. So that's case number two. Oh, I'm sorry. Shal habalim oscharam v'achakach shal esapara. And in case number three, no really new detail. It's just sequence. First, I either ask my neighbor to work with me, or hire my neighbor to work with me, and afterwards I borrow his cow. And in any one of these cases, Mesa, the animal dies. Normally, a shul would have to pay for that because it's an onus, but a shul is chayav onsin. And here, you're going to be put, you're going to be exempt. Why? Shenemar imbala vimo lo yishalem. Once I have him, the owner of the animal, working with me or for me, because I asked him to do that, at the time when I also borrowed the item from him, so therefore it creates a patur, creates an exemption. And that's the pshat in the Torah when it says, in balavimo, lo yishalem, that if he's with you, so then you don't pay. Now, I can ask the question, why? Why should that be? Right now, my best answer, and my most correct answer is, because the Torah says so. Meaning, we can try to come up with some sort of rationale. The Rishonim come up with some sort of rationale in terms of why this should be. But I'll tell you the truth. I mean, to be perfectly honest, the Gemara never entertains a Svara. And for our purposes right now, let's just simply say, Gzeiras HaKasuf.
That's maybe he's no longer a shul.
Again, you right. I want you to know, I've gone through this path before. I've tantalized the number of Svaras before. I know the Rishonim all suggest Svaras, but there's no really one absolute bona fide Svara. What you're saying is very possible, but it's possible. Here's what I know. I know there's an exemption. I know the Torah says there's an exemption, and that's the right now, that's what I could say the most concrete. Okay. So, top of Sadi Dalman Beis. But let's say after you borrow the item, then you ask him or hire him to work for you, so that's too late. Meaning the exemption only will kick in if you asked him to work with you or you hired him at the time of She'ela. Post She'ela, it's simply too late and you don't have an exemption. The Gemara starts off, Midiktani Seifa. Ve'achar kach shal sapara mechlal dereshe diktani ima mamish. So now look, in the third case of the Mishnah, all we did was just we turned it into a sequence. It was a sequential event of first I hired him, then I borrowed his animal. Which means what? That in cases 1 and 2, the events happen simultaneously. Where I borrowed his cow and I borrowed him. Now simultaneous, it's almost impossible. And that's what bothers the Gemara right now. Imam mamash mi mishkachasla. Well, how do you have simultaneous? Parva mishicha balam ba'amira. Meaning, at what point does the borrowing of his animal begin? When I'm moshech, when I pull the animal. At what point does he work for me? Amira. When we have a verbal agreement. So you can't do that simultaneously. So the Gemara gives a number of suggestions of yes, you can. So first of all, it could be that his animal is already my chatzer. So now all we need now is a verbal agreement for both. So that's one way it could become simultaneous. Or I could just simply verbally agree with him, you're not going to work with me until I do a mashicha on your animal. So you just simply put a delay in his working for you and make it contingent with the pulling of the animal. That's a second way it could become simultaneous. I had in my head that there's a third. Nope, there's no third. That's it. It's just two. Okay, sorry. Tanan Hasan, we learned in a Mishnah. Arba Shomim Haim, there are four Shomim. Shamachinam Vashoal, Nosei Socher Vesocher, Shamachinam Nishbal Akol, Vashoal Mishalam Esakol, Nosei Socher Vesocher Nishbal Lashvur Velashvui Velamesu Mishamim Mesavira Vesagneva. I know I read that quickly. That was the Mishnah that we did in yesterday's Daf. Outlining the four Shomrim, outlining the responsibility and liability of the four Shomrim. Mina Hani Mili. And now, for the remainder of yesterday's Daf, which is what we're finishing up right now, and really the entirety of today's Daf, all we're going to do now is drushas. Meaning, we know the conclusion, the Mishnah gave us a conclusion, how do we get from the Psukim to the conclusion? So this is a very thorough Daf, yesterday and today, in terms of basically figuring everything out, darshaning everything from the psukim to the conclusion. So we know the beginning, we know the end. Now it's just a question of filling in the middle. So the Tanur Rabbanan, so the Gemara starts off with the following. So these Gemaras are super basic in terms of establishing everything that I said earlier this morning. So Parsha Rishona Nemra Bishar Mechina Shnia Bishar Mesachar Shlishis Bishar. So like I outlined a little bit earlier, there are three Parshios in the Torah. First one Shar Mechina, second one Shar Mesachar, third one Shoah. Now Bishlam Shlishis Bishar Mefurash V'Chishal Ishmeim Reu V'Nishbar Omeiz Balav Inimo Shalem Yishalem. So as far as the third one being the Shoah, the Torah told us the third one is a Shoah, so there's really nothing to think about. How about Parshios numbers 1 and 2? How do we know that those Parshios are talking about Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar? Good question. The Gemara tells us. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we flip it around? Meaning there is no absolute identification in the Torah that Parsha number 1 is Shomer Chinam. So why don't I say Parsha number 2 is Shomer Chinam and vice versa? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what. It's mistaber. It's logical that Parsha number 2 is talking about Shomer Sachar. Why? Because Parsha number 2, you're on the hook for Gneva Va'aveda. Now, Gneva Va'aveda is close to Ones. Okay? It's other way around. It's close to Pshia, meaning Gneva, I didn't lock the front door of my house. Aveda, I lost the item. So and yet, the liability. Now, who's going to be more liable? So it's intuitive that the Shomer Sachar is going to be more liable. He's getting paid to watch it. So the Gemara says, Adarabi Rishon b'Shomer Sachar. So the Gemara says, well, I could also make a logical argument that Parsha Rishon is Shomer Sachar. Why? Because she came to Shalom Tishlam Mekeva, but Tonitan is Ganav. Because remember, we did this back in the 7th parak of Baba Kama. And that is Parsha Rishona. We know that if you claim the item was stolen, and item was not stolen, but rather you basically took it for yourself. So, and you were then caught. Witnesses said that you took it for yourself. You have to pay kefal as if you were the ganav. It's what we call toitanas ganav. So we know that there's an opportunity in Parsha Rishona to be chayv two times the amount. So you see that there's a stringency in Parsha Rishona. So maybe Parsha Rishon is talking about Shomer Sachar. So the Gemara says, no, afila hachi karna below shvua adifa mikfela b'shvua. You know the expression, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush? So this is our Gemara. Meaning, yeah, it's true that you could be chayiv too in Parsha Rishona, but in Parsha Shnia, you for sure are going to be liable principal value in the event of either theft or loss. So, and that's going to be more chamor than the potential of being chayiv too. Look, the Gemara says, Ashoel, we certainly know he's the most liable, and he only pays principal. That for him, there's never an opportunity for him to pay kefal. So you know that paying principal definitively is more stringent than paying kefal possibly. Continues the Gemara. Vashol kol hanashalo. The Gemara says, look, we're going to quibble a little bit on the language. The Shoel gets all the benefit. So the Gemara says, Vaha by Mizone, if he's borrowing an animal, he's got to feed the animal, so there is some expense on his part. So the Gemara says, Dekame Ba'agam. So the Gemara, here we have three answers. Number one says the Gemara, well, maybe the animal, you borrow the animal, but it's out in the swamp, and therefore you don't need to feed it. The feed is right there. Vaha by Nitira. So the Gemara says, Benata Masa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can't just leave in the swamp, you have to protect the animal. So the Gemara says, yeah, there's some sort of protection. The city provides the protection. Second possibility, lo tamakol anashlo, alayim arov anashlo. Or another possibility is that you get most of the hana as a shoal. Or you borrow someone's kli. You don't have to feed the kli. So there you're getting all the benefit. Fine. No, we now go back to what a Shomer Sachar and a Socher are responsible to pay for. They have to pay for Geneva Vaveda. They are exempt from all cases of ones. Breaking, death, breakage, being taken into captivity. Now, Bishlama Geneva Dichsivim Ganovi Ganev Mimo Shalem Yilabalav. So the Gemara says, now I certainly know, the Torah says, meaning in Parsha Shnia, it says that if the item is stolen from the Shomer Sachar, so he's got to pay. But Ela Aveda Menalan. But where do we see Aveda? It's not actually mentioned in Parsha Shniyah. D'tanya, im ganov yiganev, in le'ala ganev, aveda minayin tamalomer, im ganov yiganev mikomakom. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the double language of ganov yiganev. So the Gemara says, hanich laman damer lo aminan dibra Torah, kolosh m'nei adam el laman damer dibra Torah, kolosh m'nei adam ayik lameimar. Gemara says, very good. That's very good if you subscribe to the idea that the Torah does not speak like you and I speak. But if you subscribe to Dibur Torah Kolosh Mnei Adam, that sometimes the Torah just employs a double language because lingua franca, that's simply how we all talk. So the Gemara says, so then we don't have a place to darshan. How do I know a Shomer Sachar is Chayv Ba'aveda? Ami Ba'amar Avakav HaChomer. So the Gemara says, look, here it's a logical deduction. Uma Geneva Shekrov La'ones Mishalem Aveda Shekrov La'Pshia La'Kol Shekain. Look, even in Geneva Ba'aveda, we could split the two. Which one is more negligent? Clearly Aveda. You lost the item. That's clearly close to the Pshia. So, and Geneva, on this spectrum of Geneva of Aveda, is closer to Ones. If you're liable by Geneva, you're for sure going to be liable by Aveda. It's close to the Pshia. So the Gemara says, V'idach milsadasi b'kavacham etarach v'kassel l'akra. Now, if you darshan ganov yiganev, so then what are you going to do about the kavachomer? And the answer is, you'll acknowledge. Sometimes the Torah knows there's a Kal V'chomer, and still the Torah writes it out. Now, why? I don't have a good answer for that one. But okay, but sometimes the Torah does that. Next, Hashom Hashalem Esakol. When you borrow something, you have to pay for everything, including ones. Bishlam Hashvur Omeis Adichsi V'chishal Ishmei Mereu V'nishmar Omeis. Now, in terms of the animal either dying or breakage, so, you know, we have to pay the Torah says so. El Shvuya Bishol Menale. But what if the animal was taken captive? So then, how do I know you have to pay? Torah doesn't mention Shvuya by Shoal. Now, v'chitem enelav mishvura mesa mal shvura mesa shekein unsa de salak adaitehu. Tamer b'shvuya shekein unsa de lo salak adaitehu. Now, death, kind of inevitable. And even breakage, kind of inevitable. But Shvuya, I don't know, the Gemara says, it's not something where you would have thought of. It's not something that you should have taken into consideration. So, if the Torah doesn't say Shvuya by Shoal, I don't know if I would have been necessarily thought that this was going to happen, therefore be held liable. Ela nemer shvur mesa b'shov, nemer shvur mesa b'shomer sachar. Malahalan shvuya imo, afkan shvuya imo. The Gemara says, well, let's back up one parsha. Let's go back to the parsha of shomer sachar. You'll note that shvuya is contained therein. So therefore, together with shvura umes, so therefore we can assume that by shoal as well. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. No, that then the Gemara says that's a fast one. Ikal amifrach malah shomer sachar shekein lifter. Tamer b'shoal shekein lechiyuv. Wait 1 second. By Shomer Sachar, the inclusion of Shvuya is there for exemption. Remember, Shomer Sachar is exempt of Ones. A Shoal is Chayav in Ones. So, I understand that in Shomer Sachar it's grouped together, but that's for exemption. Here, you want to tell me by Shoal, we'll just include it for Chiyuv? So, Elik Rabbi Nelson Detanya Rabbi Nelson Omer, O le Rabbo Shvuya. So the Gemara says, okay, we have the word O right in between Shvura and Mace, and that O, the word O, is there for the purpose of Drasha, including Shvuya as well. Hi, O mi bai le lechalek. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. I need that O. It comes to tell me that the Shoal is chai for either one. Sakadacha mina ad mitbara. Ooh, Mesa. I might have had a Havamina. The Shoal is only going to be liable if first the animal breaks, then the animal dies. The Torah says, Shvura O Mace. So I might have thought I needed both. So the O is coming to separate. So Lomichayv Kamash Malan. Hanich L'Rav Yonasan El Rav Yosha Maikel Amemar. The Gemara says, now, what is our default assumption? Is that when the Torah lists two things, is it joined by assumption? Or no, is the assumption of the Torah is that they are disjointed. So for example, Titanya, Ish Asher Yikalal Es Aviv Isimo, cursing your mother and father. So do you have to curse both? Or cursing one of the two brings about capital punishment. Ainli ala aviv v'imo, aviv below imo, imo below aviv minayin tamalomer, aviv v'imo kilel. So the Torah then goes on to repeat. He curses mother and father. Aviv kilel imo kilel, div Rabbi Yoshia. And according to Rabbi Yoshia, without the Torah having repeated that next pasuk, I would have thought that the only time a person would be liable capital punishment is only if he cursed both. Because Rabbi Yoshia works with a general default assumption that when the Torah lists two, it means both. And Rabbi Yonah says, "Amar mashma shneim keachad mashma echad b'fnei atzmo." And Rabbi Yoshia says, "No." Sorry, Rav Yonason says no, that when the Torah lists two things, we don't assume joint; we assume separate. Ashifar lecha kasav yachdav. When the Torah wants to tell you both, the Torah will insert the word yachdav. Rashi gives the example, right, about plowing two different animals together. Shor v'chamor yachdav. Without the word yachdav, I don't assume that they're together. So now,
you couldn't have.
Rashi says that if the Torah had not said the word Yachdav, I would have said, you can't plow with an ox, period. I can't plow with a donkey, period. I have to find another animal. Okay. So, Ashi for lecha kasav Yachdav. So, afilu tamer of Yoshia lechalik. So the Gemara says, okay. So, I could even say here that that our learning, our drasha is going to be going according to Rav Yosha. Hachalot zarech. But over here, it's not necessary. My Thomas Varu. Malikala kula malikala palga. You see, we're talking about breakage and death. Breakage is half of death. I don't really mean that as a real fraction. But in other words, it's part and parcel of death. So, malikala palga, malikala kula. If I'm going to be liable for shvura, of course I'm going to be chai for mesa. So there, even if I subscribe to the Rav Yoshia default of always together, here, no. Because there's an argument you can make to separate the two. Okay. Geneva v'aveda b'shol manalan. You are borrowing an animal. The animal was stolen or lost. You're liable for a shoal. But it doesn't say so in the Torah. So how do I know you're going to be liable? Well, the Gemara says, look, I know the Torah mentions liability by death and breakage, but there, those are undoable. When it comes to loss or theft, that is not undoable. Okay? In other words, find it. Find the ganav, or find where I lost it. So I can't learn out Geneva Aveda from Shvura Mesa. Elaki had the Tanya, the Gemara says, okay, but consider the following Braisa. Vinishbar Omes Eli El Shvura Mesa. Geneva Aveda Minayin Amar Kavachomer. So the Gemara says, and you probably thought this, is that, look, it's a logical extension. Omashom Asachar Shapatim Shvura Mesa Chayib Geneva Aveda. Look, the Shomer Asachar is exempt from Ones. Notably, Shvura Umesa. So, Shoal Shechai B'Shvura Umesa, Eino Din Shechai B'Gneva V'Aveda. So, we know that the Shoal's liability is even higher. He's going to be Chai V'Nones. So, by logical deduction, he's also going to be Chai by Gneva V'Aveda as well. So, V'Zehu Kavacham Hashem Alav Tshuva. And then the Braisa punctuates by saying, and by the way, this is a totally impenetrable kavachomer. To which the Gemara says, now you know when the Braisa says that, it means that there's a possible pircha, but the Braisa basically says, I don't want to hear it. So, we have to ask the question. So, my ain alav tshuva. Well, what question were you thinking of, which basically we're gonna dismiss? So, Gemara says, "V'chitem eikalam efrach mal shomer sacher shekem hasham tushal mekefal b'toyin tanis listem mezuyin." Now, you know, by shomer sacher, there's a possibility of kefal. Now, I know earlier this morning we said that's true by shomer chinam. It's not true by shomer sacher. There could be one very specific case by Shomer Sacher where you're going to be chayv kefal. Now, here's the trick. It has to be a case in which it's geneva, not gzela, because kefal is only by geneva, not by gzela. And remember, Shomer Sacher is liable for geneva. So it has to be a case of geneva that Shomer Sacher would be potter. Okay. So that's a trick. What case would that be? So the Gemara describes it as listim mezuyim. So you're held up at gunpoint, but the thief is wearing a mask. Okay. Is that gzela or is that geneva? You can argue. It can go in one of two ways. So on one hand, you could say it's geneva because they're hiding their identity. On the other hand, it's broad daylight. You're looking right at them. Okay, so if we assume it's geneva, so then we do have a case of Shomer Sacher where he'll say, look, really sorry, held up a gunpoint, that's ones, and he was towing tainas listim mezuyim. Now, if witnesses later discover that he was lying, so then he would be chayv kefal, but only if you hold listim mezuyim is geneva. So the Gemara says, So you see that there is a chumrah by Shomer Sachar, and you do not have that by Shoal. And by the way, you don't have that by Shoal because Shoal's never going to be Potter. Even if held up at gunpoint, he's not going to be Potter. Because Shoal is chayv by onus as well. So the Gemara says, afilu hachi karna de Shoal adifa. But again, the Gemara goes back to the point that we made earlier, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. When you're chayav Karen under all circumstances, that's always going to be more chamor than the possibility of being chayav kefa. And the Gemara points out that, look, and we can even dispense with this whole argument by just simply saying that listim mezuyim is not geneva, but rather it's gzela. So then there's no possibility of the shomer sachar ever being chayav kefa. Ashkechan lechayav lifter min alan. Okay. And why did we do all that? Meaning, from the Gemara that started in the middle of Tzadid Amud Beis until this very point in time, well, first of all, we did it because this is the Gemara, meaning these are the Gemaras that darshan the Pesukim. But it's here in the beginning of the 8th Perek because now we're going to talk about the Petur, the exemption. Which exemption? Balav Imo. That when the owner is with you at the time of She'ela, so you're going to be exempt. Now, Balav Imo is only mentioned in Parsha 3, She'ela. Is it going to be true by Shomer Sachar? Is it going to be true by Shomer Chinam? That's where we're headed. So, Ashkechan l'chiv lifter min alav v'chitem min alav mishvura mesa. So the Gemara says, Mal shvura mesa shekein ones. Now the Gemara says, well, look, death and breakage, so those are ones. Ella, gamer mishomer sachar. So the Gemara says, so, we now know that Baal of Imo is going to be a petur by Geneva v'aveda because we're going to learn it from Shomer Sachar. To which the Gemara says, well, let's pump the brakes. How do we even know there's a patur of Baal of Imo by Shomer Sachar? Baal of Imo is only mentioned in Parsha number 3, not in Parsha number 2. V'Shomer Sachar Gufa Minalan. So the Gemara says, good, that we have to back up and ask that question. How do we know Baal of Imo is a patur by Shomer Sachar? So Gamri Chiyuv to Shomer Sachar Michiyuv to Shoal. Ma'alahalam be'balam patur afkan be'balam patur. So the Gemara says, well, it will just simply extend the patur. So the Gemara says, well, how did you extend the Petur? B'mai. Gamar. Iba mematzinu. So the Gemara says, well, are we going to learn it through a binyanav? Gemara says, you know you can't learn it from a binyanav. Ikal mefer chid debarachina, shekein ones. So the Gemara says, well, you know, the binyanav is not going to work. Shoal is not a precedent where we can learn Shomer Sachar from Shoal. Shoal is always going to be liable. Shomer Sachar is not always going to be liable. So the binyanav extension is not going to work. How do we learn the Petur of Baal of Imo from Shoal to Shomer Sachar? Ella Amakra v'chi Yishal. So the Gemara says it's because in Parsha number 3, it opens up with the letter Vav. That Vav is a bridge, bridging Parsha number 3 to Parsha number 2. Gemara says that's great. But the Gemara says, Vav Mosif Alinyan Rishon V'lamed Elyon Mitachton. So we learn out the above Parsha, meaning Shomer Sachar Parsha, from the Shoal Parsha. So the Gemara says, Vakati Shoal Mi Shomer Sachar Lo Gamar. So the Gemara says, okay, now that we learned the exemption of Baal of Imo by Shomer Sachar, and again, where's the exemption going to be true? In the case of Ones. In the case of Geneva Vaveda, right? In the case of Geneva Vaveda, where the Shomer Sachar would normally be liable, but if the owner of the item is working with him at the time of the origination, so you're going to be Potter. So the Gemara says, fine, but show me Shomer Sachar lo gamar dikal mifrach, mela Shomer Sachar shekein Potter b'shvura mesa, tomer b'shol shechai b'shvura mesa. So the Gemara says, but still, I can't extend the Potter of Geneva v'aveda of Shomer Sachar to Shoal, because remember, the Shoal has much more liability. He's chayev in onis. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's remind each other. How do we learn Geneva v'aveda by Shoal? The Torah didn't mention it by Shoal. The way we did it is we took Geneva v'aveda from Shomer Sachar and we brought it down to Shoal. So once we took Geneva v'aveda from Shomer Sachar down to Shoal, we take it with its liability and its exemption. That's the principle of Dayo. So that tells me that in Shomer Sachar, it has a liability and an exemption. So when I bring it to Shoal, I bring it with its liability and its exemption. So the Gemara says, okay, but not everyone subscribes to the principle of Dayo. Go back to the beginning of Baba Kama where we had that discussion. So the Gemara says, again, we go back to the letter Vav. The letter Vav clearly creates communication between Parsha 2 and Parsha 3, between the Parsha of Shomer Sachar and Shoal. Previously, we thought it was a one-way street. Now what we're saying is it's a two-way street. So we're going to learn out the liabilities and the exemptions in both directions. So just like there's liability by Gneva Vaveda and there's exemption because of Balavimo, we're going to say the same thing by Shoal as well. Itmar. Okay. Let's start this next topic. Pshia bebalim. What about the following? I now know that there's exemption of Baal Avimo. That at the time when I borrow something, I say, would you work with me? Would you either work with me, you know, for free, or would you work with me because I'm ready to hire you? And as long as it's simultaneous, or as long as I hire him before I borrow the item, so then I'm exempt from Kineva Vaveda, Shvuru Mesa. How about Pshia? What if I'm negligent? Is my exemption of Baal Avimo going to extend even to Poshea? Okay. Again, if we try to think about it, it's really hard to understand. I'm negligent with an item, and now because he worked with me at the time, I'm going to be exempt? Again, it comes back to, and I know, Danny, you tried suggesting earlier a Svara. Like, what's the Svara behind Baal Avimo? And again, the Gemara never offers a Svara. So admittedly, it's hard to understand how you can be exempt even if you were negligent with the item. But that's the Gemara's question. So pligi by Rav Acha v'Ravina, chanam archiya v'chanam apetur. So the Gemara brings down a debate between the Amorayim. So manda merchayev kesav mikra nijos lofanav lifnei panav. Now really, what's that issue over here is the following. Again, there are three parshias in a row in the Torah. Shomer chinam, shomer sachar, shoal. Where's the exemption of Baal Avimo? In the third parsha of She'ela. Now, we already know that we can extend it to parsha number 2. We have that Vav, connecting parsha number 2 and parsha number 3. So we know the exemption of Baal Avimo goes to parsha number 2. And now, question says the Gemara, do I bring it back even to parsha number 1? Now, think about that. What is parsha number 1? Shomer Chinam. What is the only case of Shomer Chinam would be liable? Only Pshia. So if the exemption goes all the way back to Shomer Chinam, so that tells me that the exemption of Baal Avimo even goes to the case of being Poshea. Because that's the only case that the Shomer Chinam would be liable. So the Gemara says, Hilkach, im Baal Avimo, Shomer Chinam lo ksiv. Sorry. Mikra darsh lefanav lefnei panav. Hilkach, im Baal Avimo, Shomer Chinam lo ksiv upshia nami b'shomer sachar v'shol, lo ksiv hilkach b'shomer sachar v'shol, l'chiv asya b'kav v'chomer, b'shomer chinam. Ava bebalim lifter af b'shomer sachar v'shol lo. My time ki ksiv im Baal Avimo lo yishalem, ashoal v'ashomer sachar, ahana chiv v'diksiv b'hu b'hejahu d'mechtav. So the Gemara says, if I don't extend it all the way back to Shomer Chinam, and I only bring the exemption of Baal Avimo to Shomer Sachar, so that means it's not including Pshia, because we're only looking at the things where the two are going to be liable. Now, obviously, they're going to be liable by Pshia, but by Shomer Chinam, it's the only liability by Shomer Chinam. Now, Mandamar Pater Kesaver Mikra Nidrash Lefanav Lifnei Panav. Now, if you say that Pshia is going to be exempt when Baal Avimo, that's because you're bringing it all the way back. You're taking it to Shomer Chinam, all the way back to Shomer Chinam as well. V'chiksiv im Baal Avimo. And when the Torah gives the exemption, it's giving the exemption on everything they have in common, which is Shomer Chinam Namiksiv. It's going all the way back to Shomer Chinam, and again, the only exemption I would need for Shomer Chinam is Pshia and nothing else. Okay, so question, does the exemption of Baal Avimo include even being Poshea? Answer, Machlokas. Okay, and right now the Gemara, the way the Gemara sets up the machlokas is, do I, when I know that the exemption of Baal Avimo goes back, how far back does it go? Does it only go back to Shomer Sachar, or does it even go back to Shomer Chinam? Tanan. Let's take a look at our Mishnah. Hashol par v'shol bala imo, hashol par v'sachar bala imo, shol bala o scharan, v'achar kach shol par umesa pater. We go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah gave the three scenarios in which Baal Avimo, and therefore your pater. V'ilu shomer chinam lo ketani. Now you'll notice that in the Mishnah does not give the case of shomer chinam. So the Gemara says, "Olatamech shomer sachar miketani." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, and I'll tell you this as well. You look back at our Mishnah. You notice the Mishnah also didn't discuss shomer sachar, and we've already established everyone agrees the p'tur of Baal Avimo goes back to shomer sachar, and yet the Mishnah didn't record that example. So alatanamilsa diksive beheja ketani daasi midrasha lo ketani." So the Gemara says, we're now on the top of Tzadi Hamid Beis, and the Gemara says, and you know that the Mishnah is only recording that which is explicitly mentioned in the Torah, meaning Baal Avimo by She'ela. And the Mishnah does not give the example of Shomer Sachar and Shomer Chinam, because they were only learned out through drashas. Everyone agrees to Shomer Sachar, Shomer Chinam debatable, but they're only learned out through drashas. Which, parenthetically, by the way, just as a note of interest, elsewhere the Gemara says that we normally love things that are learned out through drashas more than that which is explicitly mentioned in the Torah. So over here, it's interesting that the Gemara says now the Mishnah is only interested in focusing on that which is explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Okay, Tashma, let's do one more and we'll pause for today. We'll continue tomorrow. Tashma, Sheila v'shal ba'ala ima. Now this is a b'raisa. And the b'raisa over here says, I bar an animal and shal ba'ala ima. I asked the owner of the animal to work with me. Schar v'sachar ba'ala ima. I rented the animal. So here we now this b'raisa is talking also about rental. And I hired its owner to work with me. Shalav v'sachar balima, schar v'shal balima. And then we just crossed, right, borrowing, renting, borrowing. But anyway, afa pisha balim osim malacha b'makom acher. Even if the owner is right now, currently, somewhere else, umesa, and the animal dies, that's ones pater. You're going to be exempt. Why? Because we have the p'tur of Baal Avimo. Now, savru ha'mani Rav Yehuda damar socher kishomer sachar dami. Now we're talking about renting. Where does renting categorically fit? So let's assume, like Rav Yehuda, schira and shomer sachar are equivalent. So v'ahai tana ketani milsa dasi midrasha. Now, if that's true, so what's included now in terms of the exemption of Baal Avimo? Shomer sachar and she'ela. What's clearly left out? Shomer Chinam. So the Gemara says, V'ilu Shomer Chinam lo ketani. So the Gemara says, so good. So now we have a braisa that clearly is talking about the exemption only vis-a-vis Shomer Sachar and She'ela, not Shomer Chinam. So the Gemara says, well, it's not a great proof. Hamani Rebbe Meiri, Damer Socher Kishomer Chinam Dami. No, maybe that the author of the Braisa is Rebbe Meir, who says that Socher is like Shomer Chinam, V'tana Shomer Chinam, V'hu Adin L'Shomer Sachar. And the Braisa was giving example of Shomer Chinam, and then obviously if Baal Avimo is an exemption for Shomer Chinam, it for sure is going to be exemption for Shomer Sachar. Ibai Thema Kidamach Lefrava Baravua V'tani Socher Ketz Misham Rebbe Meir Omer Kishomer Sachar Rav Yehuda Omer Kishomer Chinam. Or the Gemara says, it could very well be that like we flipped earlier in terms of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda Shita of how do we view Socher, and in this flipped version we have Rav Yehuda saying that a Socher is like a Shomer Chinam, and therefore the Braisa again is including Shomer Chinam for the Ptur of Baal Avimo. This is where we'll stop. We'll pick it up tomorrow with Rav Hamanuna. Quick recap. Finish the, did a lot today. Finish the seventh parak of Bar Mitzvah. We talked about Masa Mashikasa B'Torah. You can say Ein Adam Masa Mashikasa B'Torah and still learn our Mishnah, which is Shitas Reb Meir, and say that still I don't have to be liable for the standard Dalet Shomrim, and because the Gemara is, again, the Gemara itself was not that clear. The Gemara just simply said, Mikar lo sheh b'nafshei. But again, Rashi's explanation, just don't put me in one of the four categories. What if I make a what if I make it tonight that is just simply unachievable? So Rav Yehuda ben Tema says it's not a tanya. The Gemara says that's the halacha. Began the eighth parak of Bab Metzia this morning. We learned about the Ptur of Baal Avimo, which is mentioned in the category of She'ela. And then for the rest of today's daf, we darshan the psukim of Shamachinam Shamasacha Shawal, and we learned about the Ptur of Baal Avimo extending to Shomer Sachar, and possibly Machlokas Amarayim, extending all the way back to Shomer Chinam. If it's extended back to Shomer Chinam, that means that the Ptur of Baal Avimo would include even Pshiah.